morning. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Out from the Cube. That is supposed to be on a Monday. So Monday's Tuesday edition of Out from the Cube. Sorry that I'm a day late, but we, how consulting kind of works. You go with clients and you go where your boss tells you to go. And sometimes we don't have time for everything. And I don't have a whole bunch of these episodes backlogged, my personal episodes that I do on Mondays and release. I do have other episodes kind of backlogged and ready to go and in the can, ready to be released. So there shouldn't be any delay in some of our guests and our Why Wednesdays with Jason. So with that, man, I hope you're having a great week. I hope you had a great Monday. I did. There's a lot going on in our world with the podcast, in our world as a consulting company, in our world as a dad, and in our community here. So I'm super excited about the things that are going on. I guess the first thing that pops into my head, and again, I really don't have an agenda or I don't prep for any of this stuff, so I don't necessarily know where we're going to lead with this, but this first thing just popped into my head just now. I hope things are going well for you. I hope that you, if I've intersected anybody, and I do believe that some of the thoughts that I have intersected some people. Again, what I am doing is trying to take in as much information as I can. And I am on this journey to improve myself and to have a more impactful, a more life of service, and to have a happier life, if that sounds goofy or not, right? I'm on a mission for that. And being the best employee, the best consultant, the best dad, the best, you know, whatever, right? I want to do what I can to be at an 11, as I've said in other episodes, to take my Marshall stack spinal tap to 11. That is kind of what I'm looking to do. I think I have hovered around 6. So I'm 45 years old, as many of you know that listen to this podcast, and I'm at and I would say in the 45 years of my life, 44 of it has been played at a 6. I think that's just being totally transparent and vulnerable and, you know, and introspective about where I'm at and what I've done. We talked yesterday. I recorded a podcast yesterday with an incredible gentleman. So I really encourage you on Friday to listen to the episode I have coming up with Tony Whatley. And my hope would be, I need to listen to that again. I need to take notes on that conversation. I mentioned to him that it's hard for me to do that and take a lot of notes as I have those conversations because I'm trying to facilitate the conversation and kind of direct it a certain way. So it's hard for me. So I need to listen to that again. I found that episode with Tony Whatley to be one of the best conversations I've had. I hate to use the phrase in my life. I've had amazing conversations, and I hate to say that just in the past year with the podcast, these conversations, because I don't want to really disparage the other conversations I've had because they've all been impactful. But Tony Whatley, man, I just felt he was on a different level, or his message resonated with me, and his message inspired me, and his message impacted me, and his message moved me to action, and his message, you know, really had me thinking bigger things, you know, is probably a good way to kind of put that. But again, I hope that that we have said something. This information that I'm consuming and then kind of distributing back out to you, I hope that you have found one or two things that you can take away that have made you think about things a little differently, or made you take the action. We talked yesterday with Tony Whatley, and I guess this was my point about that conversation, was about these people that have these impacts, that have these great lives, that are truly happy, that are crushing it, that are changing their businesses or their lives or their families or, you know, industries, that are doing these amazing things, typically come from the bottom 10%, where it has been a scratch and claw, dig your way out, I come from nothing, don't have anything going on, I don't have anything that has afforded me those opportunities. I don't have resources or money or education or experiences or wisdom or job or college education, like whatever it is, right? That 10%. Then there's the 10% that are crushing it and impacting and changing their lives, that grew up with, resources and money and financial backing and a network and an education and a private school and a community and resources. Like, you know what I mean? Like these two separate things. And we talked at length kind of about this. But what we ended up talking about was that 80% of the middle and maybe how hard it is to come out of that. And that's where I find myself. I am in that 80%. And it's not meant to sound, you know, I do want to be a person of influence, a person of impact. I want to have our company be the best software consulting company, not just in St. Louis, but the Midwest, and not just the Midwest, but the region and nationally, right? And to have somebody in, you know, Bellingham, Washington, or San Francisco, or Orlando, Florida, or Little Rock, Arkansas, or Austin, Texas, or Albany, New York, reach out to us and say, you guys, you know, you are people we need to do business with, that sort of thing, right? I believe that, right? And I want to, I would like to have that, but I am in that 80%. I am in the middle. And all these podcasts that I listen to, and I get up early, like I've mentioned before, and I start listening and taking notes and reflecting and analyzing where I'm at, what I can do differently, how we can improve, how I can improve. And what you know, I was with a group last night where we talked about, what are we doing well? What are we not doing well? You know, what do I need to start doing? What do I need to stop doing? What do I need to consider doing? What needs to be on the backlog of things that we should be doing? Like all that kind of stuff. And I hope that maybe you as people that listen to this can really analyze that for yourself. But we're in the middle. So the things that I say just come from somebody that is in the middle that's trying to do more. And the people that are probably listening to this, most of us, if not all of us, or a high percentage of us, that is us. We are in the middle. And it's hard to get out of that middle. It's, you know, what I'm finding, man, I just get these random thoughts that kind of go through my mind all the time. But what I'm finding is the ability to tell a story is impactful, if that makes sense. Whether that be in sales, speaking, corporate, you know, business meetings, you know, being with a spouse, being with a kid, leading a team of professionals, a team of youth athletics. How you tell a story is so important. Boy, and that story of I have nothing and we were homeless. You know, I don't know the name of the movie, but the Will Smith movie where he ends up being a broker is, you know, a movie I need to watch again. And what a great story that is. And that's a true story. But if you watch that movie and that gentleman that ends up crushing it in life and ends up living in a bathroom stall in San Francisco, I believe, in a BART station, the Bay Area Rapid Transit, right? The BART station bathroom, and putting his foot against a door so people didn't get in there so he could sleep with his kid. Now, that might be all Hollywood. I don't know the true story, and I know Hollywood takes liberties with things, but let's just assume that's true. Can you imagine that situation? Can you imagine how easy it would be to quit? Or maybe actually, can you imagine maybe how hard it would be to quit? If I were locked and doing everything I can to lock down a BART bathroom, and I had my two boys with me, and they were looking at me for a solution, so that didn't have to happen again, maybe that's easy not to quit. And so maybe that story is just so impactful. You know, that stuff just gives me goosebumps, because now we're starting, now you got kids in the equation. Man, it's so easy when people aren't counting on you. It's so easy to quit when nobody's counting on you for a solution, or your failure doesn't impact other people, right? That's business. That's team. That's life. And that's raising kids. My kids are my soul. And I tell them that every night when I put them to bed. I tell them that I believe that they are angels that God sent to me. I know that may sound goofy to people, but I tell them that. And they look me in the eyes and acknowledge that. right? I believe they are a blessing and a gift that was given to me. And I don't know what I did to deserve that, but I'm fortunate and blessed that I have two amazing kids, but I'm responsible for them. And they are counting on me for solutions, for development, for direction, for guidance, for mentoring, for coaching, for parenting and leading. They're counting on me. And we need to have that same mind. And it's, but if I didn't have them, how easy would it be to not try to be the best I could be? Now, there are people that do that. And they're that 10%, or actually, you know, Jason on our Wednesday conversation says, George, it's not 10%. You're starting to talk about the 0.5% or the 1%. Like, those are those people, right, that just wake up and they're like, man, nobody's counting on me, but screw it. I'm rolling. But anyway, all that has to do with being in the middle, right? And all has to do with, and the more I listen to podcasts, the more I listen the more I watch YouTube and the motivational things, and the more I read, and the more I observe, like Tony Watley yesterday, just observing him. Man, that ability to tell a story is powerful. And I am learning it is so important. And we are, I do consider myself, you know, I am a developer. I write code, I facilitate, I do coaching, I do business coaching, I do executive, all this sort of stuff, right? But I do consider myself a salesman just because of my background in coaching and things like that. And I never really understood the great recruiters. And when I coached college basketball, there are some people that had the same resources as me. And I coached small college basketball. And I always would go recruit a kid. And here's the question you ask. If you're in coaching, that you know this question. You're talking with a prospect. And maybe you do this in the professional world. I don't know. In terms of software or in terms of products or whatever it might be, right? But the question in recruiting college athletes is, who else is recruiting you? And when I would hear that, one, I guess you want to figure out if you're, you know, if I'm a small college and I'm recruiting this kid and I go watch him play and I'm like, who else is recruiting you? And he says, Michigan or Michigan State, either the kid's lying or is delusional about who's recruiting him, or I'm very delusional about prospecting and figuring out who can fit into my program. Yeah, like a kid's not going to choose my school over Michigan State. So I might be the one that's delusional. But I do that, but you do that. But when I did that in coaching, it always seemed that there were people that always were recruiting the same kids I was recruiting, and they always got them. And we had the same resources, right? And there are probably a number of reasons why they may choose another school over me, or another product over me, or another car, or whatever it is, right? There may be a variety of reasons. But one of those, and I'm not saying this is the only one, but this is what I learned in sales and what I learned in running teams and what I learned in recruiting and communication and connecting. Connecting is that story you tell. And I never really heard it like that. I never really sat back and analyzed it like that. Listen, I was fortunate. Very fortunate, very blessed. And I do believe now in retrospect, now at 45 and sitting back and thinking about my life and the opportunities and experiences that I've been placed in, why I was placed in those situations. I spent 10 years coaching basketball in Michigan at a small private Christian school, right? And was there for 9 or 10 years. And it was awesome. It was as good a 10-year run as I've had in my life, right? So what I was fortunate was I worked for, if you are in college basketball and you are an assistant coach, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 hours of your day is really tied to being with one person, and that is the head coach. So you are spending, it is you know, it's not sitting in a cubicle and typing code with headphones on and then checking out and going home and then interacting every once in a while. You're spending 17 hours sometimes, not all the time, but you're spending a substantial amount of your time with one person. And then if you parlay that or leverage that over 8, 9, 10 years, you are spending a lot of time with one person. And I was fortunate that I spent 8, 9, 10 years of my coaching career with one person that had an unbelievable ability to tell a story and to connect with people within three questions. So people have asked me, and I don't mean this in any sort of way to be, you know, arrogant or pat myself on the back or anything along those lines, but I am in an IT software world that is typically has a lot of introverts that like to work on computers and aren't great at certain things, right? And that's a blanket statement. It's not true of everybody. But I have had people ask me, George, you are so good at connecting and communicating and talking and making people feel comfortable, blah, 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 right? All this sort of stuff. And without question, it comes from my experiences as coaching, as a coach up in Michigan, working for 9, 10 years for that coach, right? It without question does. Without that, like that is 100% of it. And observing and listening and watching body language and understanding subtle jokes, understanding when to be serious, understanding how to make people feel comfortable, understanding how to sell, understanding that, hey, I understand you are not religious and this is a Christian school and this is what this school will do for you or your son, and selling that to mom and dad and having them walk out of there saying, and I remember people saying this when we recruited people. We didn't even want to leave the parking lot. We were ready to sign up on the spot and we didn't care how much it cost. Right? Right? Like that's a hard sell. Religious school, Bible classes, chapel, no girls and guys rooms, no guys and girls rooms, dorm life, no cussing, right? No alcohol, no smoking. You got to be, you know, chapel, Bible class, like all that, church. When we're on the road, we're like all that. Well, coach, I don't, you know, that's not our life. That's not our deal. It's fine. But here's what this, you know, but you sell it, right? And then mom and dad are saying, man, we didn't even want to leave. You figure that out. And what an experience that was, because you learn to sell, you learn how to connect. But to the point of this, you learn to connect with someone in three questions. Right. And I hate to use the first question always is typically, you know, where you're from, right? When you're in the world of recruiting or you're at a school, right? Because you want to draw, you know, these parallels and similarities and strike up a conversation, have people put their guard down or walls down and have them open up and have you just, you know, have a conversation and being able to connect. Right. But I think it's a three question thing. So, but let me circle back. I got way off topic, but I think actually all that's relevant and really important to consider and think about. You know, the people that have the same resources at you, you know, but why are they killing it? It's the ability to storytell. And the people that are in the middle, we are in the middle. Most of us, if not everybody listening, we are in the middle. And it's hard to get out of the middle. And what I am learning is the ability to tell a story or be better at it, or hopefully maybe that is something I'm okay at. And hopefully it is something, but it's something that I've never really thought in that way. And I first heard it storytelling. Actually, we had a guy named Michael Hansen on our program in the first 50 episodes. I kind of segment these episodes up into batches of 50, but we had Michael Hansen on who was a professional storyteller. I think if you looked at his LinkedIn bio, but then I heard it from Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant said, man, I am retired from basketball. I am immersed in the business world. And yes, because he's Kobe Bryant, because he's got hundreds of millions of dollars, that affords him the opportunity to go meet with the executives and C-suite people at Google and Apple and Facebook and wherever, right? And learn about leadership and business and teams and communication. But he came and put out a motion picture and win an Oscar. But what he said was, I am fascinated and consumed by how to tell a story. right? And I am getting more and more consumed with that. I am actually more and more consumed with Kobe Bryant now than I ever have been. And that was actually a Jason Wells comment to me. And we both agreed because we said the same thing. I'm much more fascinated with Kobe Bryant post-career than I am in career as a ball player. And I was fascinated with him as a basketball player, but definitely more impressed with what he's doing in that transition to post-career. Excuse me while I get some water, but some coffee. But it's in the middle. So this is really where I wanted to start. But I hope that you are getting something out of these podcasts that you can implement. I get something every single day, literally, not exaggerating. I'm getting something every day from the content I am consuming that I am trying to implement in my life to make myself, my family, my company, my clients better. Every single day, I am in analysis of who I am, where I'm at, what I can offer, the value I can provide, the people I'm intersecting with, and how I can uplift them, provide value for them, and help them reach their goals every single day. Whether that be a client or an 8-year-old basketball player that's learning to dribble. That's what I'm doing. And I'm trying to do that. So hopefully you get something out of it. And all that has to do with the first thing that popped into my head is the first plug of the day. I guess we don't do a whole lot of plugging of products, but I have plugged this before. I don't get anything for it. Would be nice to, because I've drank the Kool-Aid and believe in this product a lot. I really, really enjoy this product and I use it every day. It is my Full Focus Planner. So if you go to Full Focus Planner or do a search for it, it's really good. But what this planner does for me, and I typically have it with me every day, everywhere I go. What this planner does for me is it is a quarter, and I've talked about it before, so I apologize for being redundant if you've heard this, but it breaks everything down into a quarter. It is not a yearly planner. It only has the quarter, and it keeps you focused quarterly on what your goals are and just crushing those things out. But why I'm bringing it up again is we are 6 weeks. There are only 7 weeks left in this quarter on this day that I am on right now, or the week that I am on right now as I flip to Tuesday. We are 7 weeks away from this quarter being over. How does that impact you? What if we were to say we're 7 weeks away from December 31st? We better start getting after those yearly goals. The things we talked about 12 months ago it's about to be over. Where are you relative to those goals with 7 weeks to go? And I don't know what that would be. Would that be November 1st? It would be like November 7th or 8th. Shit, we better get going. But let's not look at it that way. My hope is that you have 7 weeks left in this quarter. The quarter goals that you set January 1st, I hope you're still crushing them. I'm being honest, mine have gone up and down. There are things I am absolutely crushing. There are things I'm super passionate about. My biggest goal was my health and fitness and just making a small commitment to just being healthier, which ultimately was me signing up for CrossFit. And I've reached every goal relating to that. And it's not how strong I am or how I look or anything along those lines. My biggest goal was getting there. Just getting there. Because I'll tell you right now, one, go listen to our episode with John Gleick, who is, I'm just so blessed with this podcast. But the John Gleick episode, I'd go listen to that. And the reason I'm hesitant with that is because the podcast has just introduced me to amazing, amazing people. Amazing people, you know, and John being without question one of them. He's a life changer for me, right? Tony Watley yesterday is a life changer for me. Rob Creasy from last weekend, who's the CEO of Bacon Sports that we released last Friday, it's a game changer for me. So let me ask you this. You're 6 weeks in. You are 6 weeks into your quarter, your new year. What have you quit on? What have you quit on? And it's okay. It's okay. I'll tell you right now, if you've listened to this podcast at any length, at some point I've talked about the guitar. I love the guitar. I love it. I have one cheap ass guitar and I love it. I got it for $250 or something like that. And I've been playing it for 7 or so years. And my goal this year, this quarter, when this stuff all started and on my goal sheet here and goal details and under my full focus planner was to make sure I'm doing at least 30 minutes a day with that guitar, even if it's just touching it, noodling around, not doing anything. I just wanted to spend the 30 minutes because 30 minutes a day adds up to a whole heck of a lot at the end of this quarter. And I'm telling you right now, I have not done that even close. I have failed and failed and failed on that. But because I will justify it in this regard. I have spent that time that I would with that guitar on other things that have really uplifted me and are, let me say it this way. The other goals that I have become a bigger priority than me playing that guitar, which is okay, good, and great. Tony Watley said yesterday, and you need to listen to the Friday episode. Tony said yesterday in our meeting, in our podcast recording, where he talked about not having all, I've got 8 big goals for this quarter. The reality is Tony thinks I should lock in on one. And that is the priority. One, it's okay to have these other things, but the priority, the day plan, the strategy, the game of everything you do is built around that one thing. And now I'm going to circle back around to what Tim Ferriss says. Tim Ferriss, in one of his podcasts, and we've said this before as well, is you can master any one thing in a year. I can master that stinking guitar. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to be Slash or Stevie Ray Vaughan, but I can get pretty good where I am, where I can play, where somebody would say, oh, man, you're all right. I could do that. And you know what? I could do it in a year. I could. There's no doubt in my mind I could. But it's not my number one priority. If I wanted to be that, if I wanted to be the best I could be at that sucker on December 31st, it would be my number one priority, and my entire day would be structured around that instrument. But it's not. And that's fine because my number one priority was health and the podcast and networking and meeting people and getting word out about what we do and how we do it and how the impact and value that we can bring as a company. That's my priority. My whole day is structured, scheduled, planned, and organized around those things, like without question, right? I wake up every morning and that is my focus and everything. So let me ask you this. You're 6 weeks in, and where are you with your goals and priorities? And we don't even get into the resolutions, right? Jason Wells does not go to the gym the first 3 weeks of the new year because it's packed with everybody that resolutions. He returns January 21st because that's when everybody quits, right? So that, I mean, you got that's it is what it is, right? It is what it is in terms of quitting. When things get difficult, I'm quoting somebody from this morning. I really like this morning. You should follow me on Instagram. And I'm not going to have a huge long podcast this morning because I want to try to keep these a little bit shorter to 40 minutes instead of the hour we do. But it is what it is. When things get difficult, right? When things get, this is Andy Frisella, the First Form Supplement Superstores, MFCEO Project. He's a St. Louisan. Go to the MFCEO Project. Go on YouTube and just watch his videos about, and I really am inspired by him. Listen, you have to understand up front, he has, well, my old boss that I mentioned earlier up in Michigan used to say salty language. Right? He's got salty language. I remember he said that once in the team. There were 15 of us. We all looked at each other and I looked at them and we all kind of snickered a little bit because we were like, I don't know what salty language means. I don't know what salty means. But everything all of a sudden was salty for us for a while. So Andy Frisella has salty language. Just be ready for it. But I don't mind it and it gets me juiced up and I'm fine with that. But this is what he said this morning in an early morning podcast and note-taking. When things get difficult, his mindset changes. When it's difficult to get out of bed at 4:30 and get to CrossFit at 5 a.m., when it's difficult to do the last rep or sit there, and it's hard, man, it was hard. When it's difficult to make the final sales call or close or get the client or have a difficult conversation or to run an extra mile or eat the right thing or not watch crap on Netflix, right? Or when it's difficult to, you know, not say the right things to your spouse or your children or get your kids to where they need, you know what I mean? All that sort of stuff. It's going to be hard. All those goals. But this is what he says. This is what he says in his mind when he hits those walls. Right now, this is when everyone quits. Right now is when everyone is going to fall behind. And right now is when everyone does something to make things easier or to make things faster. Right now. So he has this phrase of right now, and he may not say it, but when he kind of went off on his rant that I sometimes do, it was like right now, right now, right now. Right now is when everybody quits. And I'm not. I'm not going to quit. Difficult times test you. That's a Frisella quote as well. When things are difficult, that's when you're being tested. And that's when you can't quit. That's when the learning happens. I said this to a group last night. Yes, they were kids. Man, I'm super glad. And we talked about this before. And we actually talked about it last week, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. But the idea of, man, I'm glad that your parents didn't let you quit when it came to tying your shoes, right? I'm glad that they stayed with you on it. I'm glad that when it was hard and the first time you failed and messed up and the first time your shoelaces were in knots and they had to undo the knots and they sat there and unlaced your shoes and said, do it again, do it again, do it again. Right now, this is when everybody quits. Right now is when everybody's going to fall behind because I'm going to go and I'm going to do it and I'm going to persevere and I'm going to have the right attitude and body language and I'm going to do whatever it takes. Difficult times will test you. You just can't quit. I'm glad that we didn't quit learning how to walk, but that we fell and got back up and tried again and fell and fell and fell. The group I was with last week, we're talking about quitting and what that looks like and how difficult times will test you and that you can't quit. And I was in a crowd, I was in a gym, not a crowded gym, but I was in a gym and it was just 15 to 17 of us. And I looked around and pointed at the lights. I'm like, who invented these things? This light, these switches, these light bulbs, who invented that? And I, for the group I was with, I got a variety of answers. And when we said Thomas Edison, and I said, do you know how many times he failed at that? How many times did Thomas Edison fail at learning how to get light into a light bulb? And, you know, 5, 25, 50, a million, blah, 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 whatever it is, right? And I don't know the exact answer, and you might, but let's call it 100. Let's call it 1,000. So 100 times he failed. And this is what he said, or this is the story, and this may be embellished or whatever it is. He said, I just learned 99 times of things that didn't work. I learned 99 ways it doesn't work. I learned 99 ways that I could make it better. It didn't fail. I just learned 99 ways that don't work. And then on the 100th, time I figured it out. And it worked. It worked because I learned 99 other ways it didn't work. Right? And that it was impactful to these kids. And it was impactful to me. And I'm sitting there going, man, that just makes sense to me. Just learning. Like, that doesn't work. What if Thomas Edison had done this? What if Thomas Edison had done the light bulb? It didn't work. It blew up, blew out, didn't light, whatever it would be. And then the next time, the next iteration, the next process, the next bulb that was made and created and ready for testing, he built the exact same way. And did it the exact same way. Then the switch gets flipped It blows up, doesn't light or explodes or whatever it is. And he's like, shit, that didn't work. Well, no, crap, it didn't work. You just did the same thing that you just did. And what if he did it again? Same way, same way, same way. And kept failing. And didn't learn. Right? So the whole thing with that is adjusting and learning, being iterative, getting feedback. The best thing that I try to do with the kids that I work with is to set up any sort of, and now we're talking basketball and athletics, and this is a total sidebar. And it's not necessarily just athletics, but the example, metaphor here, or whatever is athletics. I try to set up any sort of drill where they get a immediate feedback on success or failure. Failure being a loose term, right? Not successful, right? So, because any drill you can set up where there, here's the example. I would put a 2x4 in between two chairs, two regular sized chairs that you would sit down at a, you know, lawn chairs, whatever it is, right? Two normal sized chairs. Put a 2x4 between them. So now they got two chairs facing each other with a 2x4, however long it is between them. And this, I did this for a year or so with my kids. And then each kid sits on the chair. So now they have a 2x4 between their legs. And all they do is dribble back and forth underneath the 2x4. Now, what's that have to do with anything? They dribble back and forth. If that ball hits the 2x4, they get immediate feedback that what they just did not work. The goal being, hey, you guys need to be able to do this drill without hitting the 2x4, and that would be perfect. And we've got to get you there. So let's go every day. Okay. So a couple weeks later, they're going hard, hammering it, never hitting the board. And they can see the improvement. But the first couple days, we're hitting that board nonstop. Didn't do it. Let's get better, harder, quicker, faster. Focus, right? Immediate feedback as quickly as you can get it so you can adjust and correct and learn the proper way to do things, right? And I think you need to be that. So let me, wanted it to kind of be more around our goals and all that, but that is kind of the goal situation, that you're rolling with your goals and your plans, and you need to make sure that as you move down that you adjust and get feedback, figure out what doesn't work, what you need to add, not add, subtract, consider, whatever it might be, right, is fine. So all that being said, I want to circle back around to this. You are 7 weeks away from this quarter ending. You have 7 chapters left. And today, this Tuesday in February, is a page in your chapter. My hope is this. My hope would be is that the 6 weeks that we're in to this quarter, and you've got 6 chapters written, and you got 42 pages essentially in that book. How many bad chapters do you have? And how many bad pages have you strung together? Have you strung together a whole chapter's worth of bad crap and bad outcomes, bad attitude, bad body language, bad action, inaction? Like, I'm trying to, and I ask that of myself. I'm in the middle. And it's hard to get out of the middle. It's hard to take that action. At the top of every page in my planner for my book that I am writing for this first quarter of 2019, I have written down action. Action, action, action. Okay? And I'm learning a ton. And it has been an amazing, I'm going to say this, it's been an amazing 42 days. My book for this quarter has been amazing. And I hope if you listen to the podcast, you are reading the book with me. But I'm going to tell you what, book 4 of this year is going to be better than the first book. Because I'm going to keep taking action, keep improving, keep adjusting, keep getting feedback, keep talking, right? I'm meeting today with the person that I report to. I think he likes being called my boss, but kind of tongue in cheek and jokingly with a wink, right? And the purpose of that is to really discuss the podcast and do some other things. But one of the things I know that we will be talking about, or I will be receiving, is feedback. And I'm telling you, it's hard sometimes, right? It's really hard sometimes to get that feedback. But that's what you have to do as a leader, and the person receiving it needs to be able to take it in and not get, you know, super bummed about it or critical or feel like they're going to be fired, like all that sort of stuff, right? Like, hey, here's somebody I trust, admire, respect, and look up to, and he's going to give me 5 or 6 ways that I can get better. Right? This weekend, I, in all honesty, actually, as I talk about my book being written, and it's been an amazing 42 pages or and 6 chapters, I actually did not have a great weekend. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great. And I am so open to receiving feedback on how I can get better. And I had a friend of mine send me an email. I sent an email off and received an email back from a friend and essentially was giving me feedback on basketball. And it would be easy for me to say this. Man, I coached for college basketball for 12, 13 years. And I do personal training on the side, nights and weekends, and work kids out. And I actually spend a fair amount of time off hours watching, you know, Instagram posts and YouTube videos on different tricks and different skills and different teaching points and different communication and how to convey messages in terms of basketball. So I can make my kids and the kids that I coach and the kids I work out with better. Like, I know that stuff. So why is this guy telling me what I should be doing? Why is this guy sending an email to me telling me what I'm really good at this. Like, but that's not my mindset. And I'm not saying I'm great or anything like that. My mindset is I've got to connect, get better, develop, and make sure people are having fun. I've got to connect, I've got to develop, and I have to make sure people are having fun. And whomever that source is from, I need to acknowledge it, consider it, decide, and implement, right? I need to receive it. I need to consider it. I need to decide on it. And then I need to implement it, right? And so that's kind of the thing with the feedback. I really, really admire this guy and look up to him. He has a great perspective. He had some great suggestions. And I chose to implement them all. And then I took that and took it to the group and said, this is what we're doing moving forward. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable because one, and this is not on me. I'm not trying to make this sound any sort of like that I'm great or anything. I'm just trying to figure out how to be better and have more impact and provide more value and to have people have a better experience. That's it. But man, once I put my ego away and said, man, I don't care where this comes from. I don't care where it comes from. I just care about the outcome. And do you do that as a leader? Do you do that with your teams? Do you do that with your company and your clients? Do you care about where it comes from? Take the feedback, take the suggestions, take the critique, and but then also, how do you deliver that to somebody so they can consider, decide, and implement? Receive, consider, decide, and implement. Okay, those, and that's like, I've never heard it kind of phrased like that, but those are kind of the 4 things I'm going to write down for this week. Receive it, which is important. We could have a whole podcast on just how to receive the feedback, receive the criticism, receive the coaching, right? I've got to consider it. I've got to take it all in. I've got to educate myself on these decisions, on these suggestions. Then I need to decide. Man, here's 10 things that were kind of thrown at me. and I'm considering them, and I've researched them, and I've thought about it, and I've done X, Y, and Z, and these are the three I really like. So I'm deciding. And then we've got to take action on those three things. Like, I'm doing this with these three things. These three things that he suggested we're going to do. Because I think he's right. Right? I forget the phrase about being right or being, there's a phrase like that. But you got to figure out if you just want to be, you want to be right or you just want to get the outcome that you want. Like, I don't need to be right. I don't need to be right. What I want is our clients to be provided for, to provide value to my company, to have a great team with our company of Polaris Solutions and have everybody enjoy the work experience and how I can contribute to that. I want to make things, I want to be valuable to our company. I want to knock out and dominate and crush St. Louis and turn, like, all that. I don't need to be right with that stuff. Those are the things I want to do. Those are the things I want to do. Let me throw a few things in here real quick and then we'll wrap it up. I have enjoyed this. It's hard to take action. It is hard to create momentum. But once you press record and you get out there and you start talking, it's easy. So that's the metaphor. What is the metaphor for you to press record and get your stuff moving? When you're walking down the hall and you want more responsibility and you don't want to be in your cubicle and you want to provide more value or you want to have more of an impact on a product or a decision or you want to do things off hours, whatever it is, right? What's stopping you from click and record? What's making you sit there for an hour before you hit record and get moving? The great thing about CrossFit is when you get tired and you stand there and that coach comes over to you, and this happened this morning, 10 sets, 10 reps, jump roping, all this sort of extraneous physical work, and it's a 40-minute time limit, and it's hard, and you're sitting there on the fifth set at 25 minutes, and people are already done, and you're the 45-year-old out of shape that isn't done, that still has four sets to go, and you're sitting there hunched over after doing 100 jump ropes, and the coach comes over to you and says, oh, George, you must be done. Good job. No. Coach, I still have four more sets. Well, why'd you stop? Don't stop. Get moving. Like, why are you walking down the hall not pressing record? Why'd you stop? Why aren't you moving? I'll tell you the best thing we could possibly do, talking about a man in the middle, the best thing we can possibly do is have that coach. If you follow me on LinkedIn, and I've heard all sorts of comments about this, and it's actually been viewed 250,000 times. So a 250,000 views on this video I posted of a get back coach. In the NFL, they have a get back coach. What the get back coach does is he's always there pulling everybody off of the field. Mostly coaches, right? He's pulling other coaches. Like, hey, because the officials have to run up and down the sideline, that line judge. And he's got to run, and he can't worry about running into people. And the players and coaches have to get off the field, but as the game moves on, they gravitate towards the field. So there's a get-back coach. And I just made it kind of a metaphor about that and just said, man, we all need a get-back coach. Somebody that's going to pull us back a little bit or have us reevaluate things or have us see things through a different lens or have somebody that out there to have us consider different things or whatever it might be, right? But it has me thinking about, man, I just wish we always had a coach with us at all times. What are you stopping for? Why aren't you moving? Why didn't you press record? Why don't you have that going? And to Jason's point, that one, the people that don't need that are that 1%. And you know who the 1% are? They're the ones running those companies. They're the ones in that office. They're the ones on that vacation. They're the ones that have, you know, that those vacations and all that. Those are those people. Because they don't need that coach. They don't need that coach there all the time because they're just like, man, I'm rolling. These people are counting on me to start back where we started an hour, you know, 45 minutes ago. Those people are counting on me to be at my best. those people there, my kids, my wife, my spouse, whatever it is, my significant, whatever it is, my mom, my employee, my client, my boss, the people, my team underneath me, they are counting on me to offer solutions, provide value, and knock things out. So let me say this, I thought about this the other day in one of the podcasts, and I'll end with this, even though I have 5 pages of notes here in front of me. We've got to take action, and the big buzzword for the week, it always seems to be a different word every week for me, and it just resonates on what I hear, listen to, and observe. The one that I'm listening, the word that is impacting me now is momentum. Momentum. Just create a little momentum, just a little bit. Just press record and create some momentum. Send that email. Go to that networking event. Go have a cup of coffee. Go connect with somebody on LinkedIn and say, man, I appreciate what you're doing. I sent a note off yesterday to one of the leading business strategists, leaders, motivational guys around. Just send them a quick note on LinkedIn because we're connected. And his mindset, and I heard this on another podcast, is you just give service to people, appreciate people. And I sent him a note just saying, hey, man, I appreciate you. My podcast is getting bigger, and you are going to be on one day. I'm putting it out there. You will be a guest on my podcast. And I got a note back this morning, like at 4 a.m. Thanks, George. Appreciate you. Just create a little momentum. Right? Just create a little momentum. Be of service to one another. Take some action. Press record. For me to sit there and not send that note off to him, I don't care. I don't care if he never responded. But I'm going to take action on the things I want and the outcomes I want and what I want to do and the people I want to learn from and the people I ultimately would like you to learn from. And I don't care. So I sent it off 4:30 a.m., 4 a.m. I looked at LinkedIn. And this gentleman sent me a note back. Now, it may be canned. It may be like, hey, I just received 1,000 of these, but he sent it. It doesn't matter. He's going to be on my podcast. And I wanted him to know that the podcast is getting bigger. And I know that it has to be big in order to have him on. So, one, good for that guy. Good for that guy that he has that time and, you know, and that level of service in his mind to do that. And good for me. But here's my point about momentum. But that is my word right here, like right in front of me. Momentum is the X factor for growth. That's a Ed Milet phrase, I believe, from this week. And it was a phrase from yesterday. Go to my Instagram. You can see all my notes. Out from the cube is the Instagram. But this is what I wrote down, and I haven't really heard this before, and it's a dumb little metaphor, but it really resonated with me because if you were to start a campfire, if you were to start a campfire out in the woods and you're out camping and you're starting the fire for the first time, what's the first thing you do? Yeah, now that's not a fair question because everybody could have different answers. Let's say you dig the pit out, you put rocks around it, you go gather a whole bunch of wood and you got a stack or you brought wood and it's all stacked up and now you're ready to start this fire, right? You might have paper. But this is what I know. Kindling. I think you start small. I think you put a whole bunch of kindling in there. I think you put some paper in there. And I think you light that sucker and you get that kindling lit. You get it lit. You get it going. You get it burning. You get it moving. Then you might add on more kindling to get that going. Then as that's all kind of rolling, you may add kindling, but kindling maybe that's a little bit bigger. Then get that lit. Then as that's lit and burning, you're going, man, now we got a fire. Then the firewood that you brought or stacked up or found and these logs that are big that you want to burn for hours, you put that on top. And the kindling lights the big log on fire. Now, I've never heard that before. It hit me the other day. And now as I talk it out, I really like it because there's all sorts of different angles you could go with that. But that small kindling that you lit created momentum. It created fire. It stayed lit. It was the small things like that that ultimately provided the foundation for the entire fire that may last for 8 hours. And then I'm going to throw the big stuff on top of it. the big goals, the big outcomes, the big dreams, the big objectives. But I'm going to start small. What is small? You know what small is? Hey, David, I know you're a big shot in the business world. I know you're crushing it. I know you get 1,000 or more of these every day, but you're going to be on my podcast one day when this sucker gets bigger. Thanks, George. Small, small. Just kindling, kindling, kindling. Just throw it out there, get it lit, and then get it going. Oh, I'll leave you with that. Listen, I really appreciate your time. I'm sorry I got this out on a Tuesday. I hope you have a great week. Tuesday, look for a Why Wednesday with Jason tomorrow. And Tony Watley is our guest on Friday, and he was amazing. You're going to have to listen to it a few times and take notes on it and let me know what you found impactful. I'm also taking my notes and distributing them out on LinkedIn. So I will kind of have this hodgepodge of things that I will then post on LinkedIn once a week. It really worked last week. People seemed to like it. I received a fair amount of messages, and we're going to be doing some things as well with PolarisSolutions.com, our website for our company, as well as essentially down the road, moving towards having our own website out from the cube, which I can do. It's just a matter of finding the time to do it, but an out from the cube website. So we got a lot going on, and it's because the podcast has been doing well. I hope you have a great week. And I encourage you right now, this week, to start your campfire. Start the campfire and start with kindling and start pressing record on the buttons of your life. As goofy as that sounds, the buttons of your life, press record and get moving. Start taking action. Start gathering up the kindling. Start building your 8-hour campfire and get that sucker burning. And let's do it this way. Start your 7-hour campfire, because there's 7 weeks left in this quarter and you got to get that sucker built so you can have this campfire last the rest of the quarter, because that's what I'm doing and that's what I'm trying to do and that's what I'm trying to do to get out of the middle. Right? So maybe the new book, instead of it being I Am You, the book title should be I'm a man in the middle, or I'm stuck in the middle and I've got to get out. Right? And it's all about action and decisions, receiving feedback, adjusting the dials and doing what I can to get better. Have a great rest of the week. Reach out to me on LinkedIn, Twitter, but mostly on LinkedIn. Would love to have a conversation with you. Crush it this week. Take care. Oh,